Thoughts on 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 to 3. I want to return to progressive sanctification. In the previous discourse, I spoke on its basis, as argued by Peter here. But Peter is more than just giving us the basics and the basis of progressive sanctification. He spells it out in detail. He is specific. He isn't vague. He isn't general. You're talking about love in some kind of fuzzy, woolly, ill-defined way. Of course, love is the great motive, and we love and we obey just as Christ. That's the standard. But the law of Christ, the imperatives, the commands of Christ in the gospel, in the new covenant for his people, are not vague and general and this kind of meaningless, fuzzy candy floss. No, no. It's not cotton wool. He spells it out here. Look at the words. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. What does he pick on these things? Why malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind? Well, it would appear to me that these are the marks, as these early believers saw, for the world, the ungodly. You remember when Paul wrote to Titus, he said, chapter 3, verse 3, at one time we too, before we were regenerated, before we were made new men in Christ, before we were brought to Christ, at one time we too were foolish. That's the mark of the unbeliever. He's a fool, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. This is what we were. This is what we were by nature. But God has transformed us, made us new creatures in Christ. The natural man becomes a new man. The polluted man becomes a renewed man. Now, there's nothing passive about this. We don't say, oh, well, let go and let God take away my malice and my deceit and my hypocrisy and my slander and all the rest of it and envy. No, we have a duty to kill these things, to destroy these things. The New Covenant theologians very often, I believe, have given a wrong impression about this. They talked in terms not of liberty, but of license. And they made it kind of lax and fuzzy and so confusing and so vague. No, the New Testament is full of imperative and full of command. Of course, we have the Spirit with us. We're enabled to walk in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit, but we have to keep in step with the Spirit. The gospel standards can talk about Romans 7, the wretched man, and say, oh, yes, well, this is where I am, and I can't do, I don't do the good I want to do, I can't do it, it's all up to God. No, my friend, that's not the description of the believer in the highest state. That's a misunderstanding of it. Galatians 5 is that walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. Romans 7, the man there does not have the Spirit of God. This is the new life. A new man in Christ. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Whatever the world is like, don't be like that. Like newborn babes, crave the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. My brothers and sisters, we are new men in Christ. Let us live as new men. Unbeliever, you don't want to have a tinkering of the edges. You need to be made a new man in Christ. And that takes the grace of God, the Spirit of God, bringing you to the Christ of God. May God work this great salvation. And may you hear the gospel call and fly to Christ now before it's too late.